Parsha Bo say good morning. Let's begin with a beautiful, beautiful daf today. Today's daf is Lamed Aleph, 31. We are picking up on Lamed Aleph, the first line right after the two dots. So let's say, remember again, we are still focusing on these cases of battling Chazakos. But we're really operating over here with a couple of defined principles. Namely, again, that although Chazakah is important, remember, Chazakah requires a taino. A Chazakah is only meaningful if a person has a claim of ownership from somewhere else. The fact that I lived on a particular property for a particular duration of time is only meaningful if I have the ability to claim that I received the property from a particularly defined source. If I have the residency, the Chazakah, but I don't have the Taina, the common theme we keep seeing over and over again is that Chazakah is not meaningful. So it says the Gemara, Zeh Omer Shalav Osai. Listen to this case. So Reuven says, this land belonged to my father. Vizeh Omer Shalav Osai. And Shimon said, this land belonged to my father. What happens? Hai Aisi Sadi Davasei. So we'll say, so imagine for a moment, Reuven brings witnesses that the land indeed belonged to his father. Vahai Aisi Sadi Da'achli Shnei Chazaka. So we'll say, listen to this. So both are making the same claim, namely that the land belonged to their father. Reuven brings witnesses that indeed his father owned this land. Shimon brings witnesses that he's been living on the land for the last 3 years. So his witnesses attest to the fact that he has Chazakah. Reuven's witnesses attest to the fact that it belonged to Shimon's father. Amar Rabba. So Bosei says, Rabba, ma lo l'shaker. So listen to this, Bosei. So Rabba says, we have to believe, look at Rashi. Amar Rabba, ma lo l'shaker. L'zeh ha-machzik. So we'll say, Rabba says that the individual, let's assume for our purposes right now, that Shimon is the one who's been living on the property. Right? So Reuven's claiming, again, this property belonged to my father's. Shimon claims the property belonged to my father's, but Shimon also has been living on the field for the last, or the house, last 3 years. Shimon's witnesses do not support his claim that the field belonged to his father. What Shimon's witnesses do support is that he's been living there for the last 3 years. So Rabbi says, we believe Shimon. We believe Shimon who has the chazakah of residency. Why? Because you say, malo l'shaker. Why would he lie? What does it mean, why would he lie? E boy amarle, because we both say Shimon could have made a different taina. What could Shimon have said? E boy amarle, minach zabinta. Shimon could have said to Reuven, I bought this field from you. I bought this field from you. And I went ahead and I've been enjoying the years of Chazakah. So I will say that would have been a Chazakah Shiyishima Taina. The Taina would have been, I bought it from you. Therefore, again, I will say, because he could have made that claim, which technically would have been even a stronger claim, we believe his weaker claim, that's what? That the field once belonged to his father. It's called Amigo. To which the Gemara says, Omle Abai, what are you talking about? To which Abaye says, Rava, that is incorrect. Excuse me, Rabba, we don't see Mali the Shaker. We can't employ Amigo in a situation where there are Eidim. I will say, now what does this mean? Take a look at Rashi. Amrle, Tamidu Abaye, Mali the Shaker, Kilomar, Al Yedei Haimigo de Mali the Shaker, Lo Yiske Bekarka. No, you can't say that Shimon should be entitled to the land because he has Amigo. That he could have made a stronger claim, not that this land belonged to my fathers, but that I bought this land from you. Why? Shari Eidim Achish Mestvarev. Because I will say, remember again, Shimon has witnesses who are contradicting his account. Remember, what are they saying? Sha'omrim, the Shalavos of the Idachi. Because there are other set of witnesses who say that what? That this field belonged to Reuven's father. The Gama Chazaka, Inoklum, Shara'im ima Taina, Kim Taina Sheker. So we'll say, so Abaye says back to Rabba, you can't say that Shimon should be believed because of Amigo. Amigo that he could have said, I bought this land from you. Because remember, again, he has no Amigo. Why does he have no Amigo? Because Amigo doesn't apply in a case where there are Edim. Since Reuven has Edim that ultimately supports his claim that the land belonged to his father. Therefore, again, that erodes Shimon's ability to make a stronger claim. To which the Gemara says, "Hadar Amarle in Davusachi." So we'll listen to this. So let's play this out. Reuven and Shimon both making the same claim. Reuven saying this land belonged to my father. Shimon saying this land belonged to my father. And it happens to be Shimon was the one who's been living here for the last 3 years. They both bring witnesses. Reuven's witnesses support the fact that the land belonged to his father. Shimon's witnesses just testify to what? that he's been living there for 3 years. So Abaye wanted to say, Rabbi wanted to say that we should believe Shimon, right? Because again, Shimon has a Migo. What's the Migo? Although he claimed that the land belonged to his father, he could have claimed that he bought it from Reuven, which would then give him a chazaka and a taino. To which Abaye responds, I'm sorry, Rabbi, that is not correct, because you can't say Migo in a case where there are contradicting witnesses. So remember again, Shimon's claim that the land belonged to his forefathers is contradicted by the witnesses that Reuven has brought. To which the Gemara says, you're right. To which Rabbi says, you're right. We have to reframe the case. Hadar Amarle in. So I'll say, watch this. So now what we're saying is, Shimon comes back and Shimon says the following. You're right. In. Davosachi, Reuven, I admit that the land belonged to your father. That's not such a chiddush, because remember, Reuven is bringing witnesses that the land belonged to his father. Shimon is just bringing witnesses that he lived there for the last 3 years. So now Shimon says, you're right, Reuven, Amoda, the land belonged to your father. Vizabinta minach, but I went ahead and I purchased it from your father. Right, I purchased it from your father. So the Gemara says over here, Vizavinta minach. So Rashi says over here, Hadra Amrile Ahuda, I see the Chazaka Leidach. I went ahead, Vahaida Amrile Davosai. And I will say, that which I said. So Shimon says, you're asking, if I only purchased it from your father, then why did I make the claim that the land once belonged to my father? Listen to this. Vahaida Amrilach Davosi, Vesamech Li Allah Kedavosi. Because Shimon says, that I am sumich on this sale as if it belonged to my father. Now, what does that mean? So Shimon's coming along and modifying his statement a little bit. Shimon is saying, yes, I know that I said that the land belonged to my father. What I really meant to say was the following. I went ahead and I purchased the land. I purchased this land from your father, or from you. And when I claimed that the land once belonged to your father, what I was saying was, this sale is as solid for me as if it belonged to my father, as if it was ancestral land. Remember, it's like the same way that a person has even a stronger claim, not in a legal sense, but in almost like a connection sense, to ancestral property. So this transaction was such a bona fide transaction that it was as if I inherited this land from my father. So Shimon is now coming along and modifying his original statement, which then leads the Gemara. Take a look at Rashi. I was so sure of my ownership of this land, as if it belonged to my father. So I acquired this from your father in such a way that it felt as solid as if it was ancestral land. So Mosai, this now raises an interesting discussion, which is toin v'chozer v'toin, o ein toin v'chozer v'toin. So Mosai, now we get into a very yisodistic idea. When someone goes ahead and lodges a claim, someone makes a claim in a court, do they have the right to go back and modify that claim or not? I was supposed to say, that's exactly what's happening over here. Remember again, Shimon's made a claim. His original claim was what? I got this killed from my father. Now remember, the witnesses he produced do not attest to that fact. The witnesses he produced attest to the fact that he lived on the land for the last 3 years. Reuven also made the same claim, this land belongs to my father's, and Reuven's witnesses support that claim. Shimon now comes back and says, you're right, I didn't really mean it was actually my father's. What I meant was, I bought it from your father, and the transaction was so solid that it was as if it was ancestral land. To which the Gemara says, well, how do we look at that statement, that we'll call that modification? Right? Do we look at that? Do we say that a litigant has a right to modify? Because we'll say, again, let's just mean, it's not like the craziest, it's not like the craziest thing to say. In other words, what he's saying is, I was saying, when I claimed it was my father's, what I was claiming was, I have a strong claim to this land, like it was ancestral property. Okay, it's not technically ancestral property, it's bought property, but it's amaz muchsuk in it as if. So the shayla is, could one of the litigants go back and chosid? We'll say this is the phrase toin v'chosid v'toin ein chosid v'toin. So can you go back and modify your statement or not? Look at the Rashbam. Actually, no, not yet. I'm sorry. So Ula Amar, Ula says toin v'chosid v'toin. Ula says yes. a litigant could go back and modify a statement. Now, both say, we're going to see some interesting, what's the right word? Caveats. Not caveats, but conditions or... Okay, we'll go with conditions. Conditions to this. Take a look at the Rashman for just a moment. Ula Omer, Ula Omer, listen to this. Toin bebezdin mashu rotze. So again, a litigant shows up to bezdin, makes his claim. Vecholzer acharechin liton dvarim acherim litaritz dvarim harishon. So according to Ula, a litigant has the right to make a claim and then go back afterwards and modify that claim. Now both say, now watch the caveat over here. He says, Afapi shemachishim kitsas baze. Now that word is very important. Ula says, even though what? The modification does what? It contradicts a little bit of the initial claim. Shechozer v'toyin hay do'amer da'avosi d'samach alei kedavos. So we'll say, Ula is going to say, a litigant could go back and modify his claim. Now what we're going to see what Ula means is the following. You can go back and modify your claim as long as what? As long as you don't reverse your claim. In other words, what modification is not a reversal. Modification is a tweaking. Now, is it possible that that tweaking contradicts a little bit of what you said originally? Yes. Yes. A modification often does contradict in part, but as long as it doesn't contradict in totality, you're okay. Once your modification contradicts your initial statement, then you're out. Then you're out. But as long as it's just, and that's why Ula is saying, as long as it's just machish ktsas, that's shitas Ula. No. Once you go ahead and you give over your testimony in court, so you're done. You're done. You can't go back and then modify your statement. Umodi Ula, now I'll say, even Ula who says, Toin v'chozer v'toin, will agree in the following situation. Heichad da'amar lei, shalavosai, v'lo shalavosecha, de'eno toin v'chozer v'toin. So we'll say, listen to this. So Ula will agree in the following case. We'll say, let's say, imagine the case went the following. Reuven and Shimon are arguing over a piece of land. Reuven says, this land belonged to my forefathers. Shimon said, this land belonged to my forefathers and not your forefathers. And then Shimon comes along and says what? What I really meant to say was, I bought this land from your forefathers and it's as if I inherited from my forefathers. Even Ula will agree in that case that what? The modification is no good. Why, Abosai? Because in that case, the modification absolutely contradicts the initial statement. The initial statement made, it was explicit. And Shimon was saying, this property never belonged to your forefathers. To go back and now say, well, it did, both sides, then that is an explicit contradiction, in which case even Ula would agree you can't modify. So both sides, you see, by the way, how this gets exceptionally fascinating and riveting, because we're going to straddle that very fine line between what is a modification and what is a contradiction. Good morning, Mr. Schoenfeld. So now, so again, even Ula who goes ahead and says, Chozer v'toin v'chozer v'toin, will only say that in a case where the modification is not a contradiction. It could be a little bit of like a tension between the two statements, but it can't be a contradiction. Furthermore, v'heichot, we also listen to this. This is really very interesting. V'heichot dava kai beidino v'lotan, we'll say, watch this. Furthermore, even Ula will agree in the following case. Reuven and Shimon are standing in Beis Din. And then what happens? Reuven makes his claim, Shimon makes his claim, and Velotan. And then again, Shimon doesn't lodge his modification. Va'asa me'avrai v'tan. Then I will say what happens. The court goes on recess, right? Everybody goes for lunch. Shimon comes back and suddenly lodges his modification. So I'll say, in that case, eino v'chozer v'toin. Even Ula will agree that a litigant does not have the right to modify a statement. My time, what's the reason? Ta'anose agmere. Because it will say, it must be that what? Someone's coaching him. In other words, that even Ula Bosei says that you can modify, you can only modify with two caveats. Number one, that your modification is not a contradiction. That's number one. And number two, that your modification is lodged in real time. Right? So Bosei, meaning if you're going ahead and putting in a claim, and then again you go for lunch and 2 hours later you come back, and again suddenly you have a modification, that does not look right. Furthermore, next I will say, furthermore, umodi nardoim. I will say, even the nardoim. Remember, what was the position of the nardoim? The nardoim say, eino chozer, eino toim v'chozer v'toim. Right? That ultimately, again, you cannot modify your claim. See, even the nardoim will say you can't modify your claim. They will agree in the following case. Heichad the amrle shel avosai, shelakhu me'avosecha, the chozer v'toim. So we'll say they will agree. In the Reuven and Shimon case. Remember again, see, they said that when Shimon comes back and says, you know what, you're right, it didn't really belong to my fathers, I bought it from your father, and it's as solid, it's as firmly embedded in my possession as if it was ancestral property. So then Haradim say, no, we don't believe that. But if Shimon were to come back and say, Reuven, my father bought it from your father, the chozer v'toyin. They both say that would be a legitimate modification. Why would that be a legitimate modification? Because there is no part of that statement. There is no part of that contradiction. There is no part of that modification that contradicts his initial statement. In other words, the Nardoim only say, here's the tension between Ula and the Nardoim. Ula, who says, Toein v'chozer v'toein, will say that you could modify your original statement even if your modification contradicts a little bit, right? A little bit. The initial statement, as long as it doesn't totally contradict. And Ula's logic seems to be that what? That people often don't express themselves clearly. People often don't articulate the full measure of the idea they're trying to convey. So I could accept a modification that contradicts the initial assertion just a bit. Then I'm saying no, this is a court of law. Once you go ahead and you put forward your claim, that's the claim you have to live with. But, and if the modification contradicts the initial assertion in any way, we reject the modification. But, if the modification does not in any way contradict the initial assertion, then you know what? We can't accept the modification. So for example, in this case over here, where what? Where Shimon says, listen, you're right. You're claiming it was your father's, I'm claiming it was my father's. The truth is, my father bought it from your father. Both said, that is a modification that does not what? That does not what? That does not contradict the initial assertion. Because the initial assertion that Shimon made was what? It was my father's. I'm not in any way changing that. It was my father's. Okay, I'm adding in an additional piece of information. I'm adding a piece of information. Then now it says that my father bought it from your father. So in essence, what I'm saying is, your claim is not incorrect. Yes, Reuven, it was your father's. My claim is that my father bought it from your father. Even the Nardoim would agree that that type of modification is legitimate because it contains no contradiction to the initial assertion. Take a look at the Rashbam. It's amazing. Take a look at the Rashbam. Modin Nardoim. We'll say third wide line in the Rashbam. That when Shimon goes in and claims it was my father's, the land was my father's, the chazer v'toin shalavosai shalachu me'avosecha, that my father bought it from your father, the chozer v'toin umehemin, that again Shimon could go ahead and modify his initial assertion, de'eino oker dvar harishon klal, because it will say in this case the modification in no way uproots or undermines the initial assertion, ela mosif aleihen. Rather, it simply adds on to Shimon's original claim. So now the Gemara is saying over here that even Nardoim would agree. So there would be a case, even though the Nardoim said that you can't modify your statement, that's only if your modification contradicts in any small way your initial assertion. But if the modification doesn't contradict the initial assertion, then you can believe the modification. Then you can be toin v'chozer v'toin. Furthermore, that's number one. That is qualification number one of the shita and nardoim. Furthermore, v'heicha d'shtoy mili avroi v'lotan. Both say. Furthermore, when else do the nardoim say that you can modify your statement? I will say, watch this. Let's say the initial conversation between Reuven and Shimon took place outside of Beis Din. Right, they're arguing this point outside of Beis Din. That's Veheicha d'ishtoi mili avroi. When they are exchanging words outside of Beis Din, velo ta'an. And therefore, again, there's been no formal, Beis Din proceedings. And what happens? They come into Beis Din. Vitaan. So we'll say, watch this. Outside of Beis Din, Shimon said A. And inside of Beis Din, Shimon said B. Like, for example, let's go back to our original case. Outside of Beis Din, Reuven and Shimon are arguing. Reuven says, it's my father's. I got to see from my father. Shimon says, I got to see from my father. And then in Beis Din, Shimon comes along and says what? Says what? I bought it from your father, but I claimed it was my father's because it's as embedded in my possession as if it was ancestral property. The Naradoim will agree that in that case, you will say Toin v'chozer v'toin. You can modify your statement. Why? Both said, this is amazing. My time, Ovid inishtelo migli ta'anase ella beidina. Because Rabbi say, it is common for people not to want to reveal their legal claims outside of Beis Din. In other words, Rabbi say, when I go to Beis Din, I have a strategy. It's in my best interest to what? To what? To not reveal that strategy prior to getting into Beis Din. So therefore, Rabbi say, the Naradoim saying, the whole issue of towing v'chozer v'towing is only an issue of modifying claims that were made in front of Beis Din. But if, let's say, the discussion, the spirited discussion between Reuven and Shimon begins outside of Beis Din, and Shimon says one thing outside of Beis Din and something different inside of Beis Din, even the Naradoim say that he has the right to say something different inside of Beis Din, and that's not called Toin v'chozer v'toin. Why not? Essentially, it's very simple. Because statements made outside of Beis Din do not really have a legal standing. And since it's common that people do not want to reveal the full depth and breadth of their legal arguments before the legal proceedings have begun, we don't look at Shimon as retracting or recanting or contradicting his statements. Rather, we only ascribe primacy to the statements made inside of Beis Din itself. It's absolutely amazing. So, both sides. So again, so what you have over here is a riveting machlokus in Ula and in Naradoim. Do we say Toin v'chozer v'toin or not? When you give testimony in Beis Din, can you go back and modify that testimony or not? Ula says yes, Naradoim say no. Gemara gives qualifications for each. According to Ula, Rabosai, that's only when the modification only slightly contradicts the initial statement. But if the modification totally contradicts, then what? Then you can't modify. Furthermore, that's only when the modification is lodged immediately after the initial statement. But if there's a break, if he goes out of Beis Din, then we don't believe any modification. Furthermore, again, even the Naradoim who say, Eino chozer v'toin, that's only when all statements are made inside of Beis Din. But if initial statement was made outside, a secondary statement made inside, we ascribe primacy to the secondary statement. And ultimately, again, watch about saying. And ultimately, what was the first qualification? Sorry.
Only if it adds to and doesn't contradict.
Thank you. Good. So says the Gemara. Thank you much. So says the Gemara. Amar Meimar says, I'm a Narda. So Meimar says, I am from Narda. Usvira li the toin v'chozer v'toin. So this is, you know, this is like Amima renouncing his you know, his citizenship. You know, I am a resident of Narda, but I reject the view of the Naradoims. I accept the view of Ula, who says that chozer toin v'chozer v'toin. I believe that ultimately, again, a litigant should have the right to go ahead and modify a statement, again, I will say, in conformance with the conditions that we expressed above. V'hilchasa, and what is the halacha? Toin v'chozer v'toin. I will say, indeed, the halacha is that a litigant is permitted to go ahead and modify a statement. I will say, not just, this is a much more intricate halacha than we're giving it justice over here, but just so you should know, the halacha is, this is in Choshen Mishpat, Simin Kuf Mem Vav Sif Chaf Dalid. So again, the Shulchan Aruch brings down this exact case. Ze Omer Shalavosai, Ze Omer Shalavosai. Right? Reuven and Shimon, one says this belongs to my father, the other says this belongs to my father. Ze Hevi Edim Shehi Shalavosai, Ze Hevi Edim Shachosh Nechazaka. So again, each one bringing separate sets of witnesses. One attests to the fact that it belonged to his father. One that he ate the years of Chazaka. So without getting into everything, the Gemara says, Chazar Ze Amachsik Vamar Koshikin Shalavosai. Let me just skip that a little bit. The Gemara says, "Harizet Haina Nechona Shari Nasan Amasla Dvarav." So the essentially, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins is that Halacha LaMaisa, we say Toin V'Chozer V'Toin, that a litigant has the right to modify his statements, but there are caveats. What are the caveats? Number one, you can't have left Shahusha Toin Kin Ba'Ota Bifnei Beis Din. The modification has to be lodged while everyone is still in Beis Din. Furthermore, again, Abu Sai, the modification cannot fully contradict the initial statement. If it fully contradicts the initial statement, then the modification ultimately, again, is rejected. Furthermore, this is only talking about where everything is happening in front of Beis Din. But if initial statements were made outside of Beis Din, then the modification could even contradict the initial statement outside of Beis Din. So we'll say, bottom line, we accept the premise that Toin v'chozer v'toin, a litigant has the right to modify his statements subject to these three conditions. Number one, that it not fully go ahead and contradict your initial statement. Modification can contradict the initial statement. Number two, that the modification be lodged immediately after the initial statement. And number three, this whole discussion only applies when both statements were made inside of Beis Din. But if the first statement was made outside of Beis Din, the quote-unquote modification inside Beis Din, that second statement is not called the modification. That second statement is called the actual legal statement. And even if it contradicts the first statement fully, it's still going to be admissible inside Beis Din. Okay, we'll say again, a lot more to say on that, but not for now. Says the Gemara. We'll say, let's go weiter. Ahu. I'm sorry. Ze omer shalavosai. We'll say, here we go. Right? This one claims, Ruvein claims, this belongs to my father. Sheva claims, this belongs to my father. Hi, Aisi, Sadi, Dav, Maseva, Achleshne, Chazaka. So also listen to this. This one brings witnesses that it belonged to his father, and he also had the years of Chazaka. Vahai Aisi, Sadi, Da, Achleshne, Chazaka. So we'll say, this case is a little bit different. In this case, Ruvein and Shimon, Ruvein claims that the field belonged to his father. Shimon claimed the field belonged to his father. Ruvein's witnesses support the idea that it belonged to his father, and Ruvein's witnesses also support the idea that Ruvein has settled the land for the years of Chazaka. Shimon's witnesses come along, and Shimon's witnesses do not attest to the fact that it belonged to his father, but what? They do attest to the fact that Shimon's been living there for the years of Chazaka. So it says, what's the halacha in this situation? Amar Rav Nachman, Uki achila lebahade achila, v'uki ara becheskas avasa. So we'll say essentially what happens over here is the following. The testimonies cancel each other out. So pretty much you have two witnesses, each saying this contradictory things. One set of witnesses says that Reuven's been living here the last 3 years. One set of witnesses are testifying to the fact that Shimon's been living here the last 3 years. So we'll say, so what do you do in a case like that? The testimonies cancel each other out. When they cancel each other out, we'll say, what are you left with? You're left with the testimony of the first set who says that the land belonged to Reuven's father. So essentially Rav Nachman will say, we will award the land to Reuven because he's the only one with bona fide testimony right now that the land belonged to his father. Amalei Rava, Rava says, what are you talking about? Ha edos mucheshasi. Rava says, there's no testimony over here. The testimony, we'll say, has been refuted. In other words, here's what we know. We'll say, what do we know? One of these witnesses are lying. Somebody's lying over here because they're both attesting to contradictory facts. Right? One set of witnesses is saying Reuven lived here the last 3 years. And remember, when we say lived here, we'll say lived here means what? Lived here what?
Exclusively.
Right? One set of witnesses is saying exclusively, the other saying exclusively. So we'll say somebody's lying. Rava says, this is the Eidus Mukhasha. So we'll say, when you have two witnesses saying contradictory things and one of them is definitively lying, we don't know who's lying. Essentially what they do is they totally cancel each other out. And Rava's saying, Rav Nachman, you can't isolate a piece of their testimony to be used. You both say, what Rav Nachman is saying is like this. First set of witnesses is saying two things. Reuven, the land belonged to your father, and Reuven, you've lived here the last 3 years. Second set of witnesses are saying, Shimon, you've lived here the last 3 years. So Rav Nachman will say, so the second piece of testimony cancels each other out. The 3 years, 3 years cancel each other out. But what I do have left is the first set of witnesses who testify to the fact that this land once belonged to Reuven's father. To which Rava will say, no, these witnesses totally cancel each other out because somebody is lying, which means we throw out all of the testimony. Therefore, Rava says, there is no valid testimony that attests to the fact that this land belonged to Reuven's father because all of the testimony is inadmissible because someone's lying. So it says the Gemara, Amar Lei, Nehi Dechashes Bachilus, Rav Nachman Rasan's Rava. Even though it's true, they have proven themselves to be contradicted testimony when it comes to the Chazaka, to the 3 years, Amud Beis. Ba'avasa mi ischachish. So what says Rav Nachman will say, listen, I still believe you could salvage part of the testimony. Because they're both saying, the statement of the first set of witnesses that the land belonged to Reuven's father, that piece of testimony has never been contradicted. And therefore, again, there's no reason why that cannot remain in place, and ultimately, again, be used to bolster Reuven's claim to the land. So says the Gemara, look at Rashi, Rashbam, B'davasa mi yischachish, Edu shalavasa kayim, hu v'akol motim bo. In other words, remember, all I have is one set of testimony, uncontradicted testimony, that this land belonged to Reuven's father. Let that piece of testimony stand and establish land in Reuven's possession. So which thing was Lema Rava Rav Nachman Bopukta Ravuna Rav Chista Kemiflegim. So we'll say, let's suggest that Rava and Rav Nachman are actually arguing in Rav Huna and Rav Chista. So we'll say again, remember, Rav Nachman is saying that although the testimonies Legami the Chazaka cancel each other out and they're gone, the testimony about the land being Reuven's father should still stand. Rav essentially says, we'll say that what? We throw out the entire testimony. There is nothing to be salvaged. You can't start splicing off pieces of testimony. Once we know here that someone is lying, all the testimony goes out the window. So says the Gemara, perhaps the machlokis Rav and Rav Nachman is really an earlier machlokis of Rav Huna and Rav Chista. Watch this. Te'itman. Because this is really fascinating. Beis kite'edim hamachishos zeh. We'll say if you have two sets of witnesses that are contradicting each other. Take a look at the Rashbam for just a moment. Hamachishos zu. He says, Be'idus achos kigon shnayim omrim ploni lava mi ploni mona. Ushnayim achirim achishum ba'omrim lo lava mi menu klum. Shai ba'osayom sha'atim omrim shalava mi menu. Haya imanu halove. Kolosayom ba'lo lava mishum adam klum. So we'll listen to this. So what's the key over here? Imagine the following. Two sets of witnesses. So we'll call them group A comes along and says, we saw Reuven borrowed $1,000 from Shimon on the 1st of Adar. Okay? And what happens? Second set of witnesses say, impossible. Reuven, the supposed borrower, was with us the entire day on the 1st of Adar, and he never borrowed any money from Shimon. So we'll say, what do you do in a situation like this? What do you do? So again, pretty much, you have two contradictory testimonies. They just cancel each other out. So watch this. So it says the Gemara, Amar Rav Huna. So we'll say, Rav Huna says, Zu ba b'fnei atzma u'mi'ida, v'zu ba b'fnei atzma u'mi'ida. So we'll say, watch this. So we'll say, here's the Shaila. What happens now if those same set of witnesses want to come and give testimony about a set? So we'll say, so obviously in this case, they cancel each other out. There's nothing to talk about. There's no meaning. We're back to status quo. What happens if group A shows up in Beis Din to testify about another matter? So if Chista says, so if Huna says, we believe them. In other words, both say, even though they cancel each other out over here, so the Maase, again, their testimony is not believed in this case, but they could come and testify regarding another case, and we'll accept their testimony. Rav Chista says, what are you talking about? Bahadi sahadi shakri lamali. So ultimately, Rav Chista will say, what do I need with such liars? What do I need with such liars? As well, so, which is another way of saying the following. Rav Chista says, here's what I know. I know in that case, right, where A and B are contradicting each other, that's what?
Someone's lying.
Now, you could say, maybe it's a misunderstanding. You know, we're down lekaf sechus, not lekaf shtus. You know, you have to, you know, at some point in time, you recognize people, somebody's lying over here. So therefore, again, Rav Chista is going to say, at the end of the day, somebody's lying. Now, the issue over here is, I don't know who's a liar. I don't know if it's group A or it's group B, but I know that someone is lying. Because I know that someone is lying, Rav Chista will say, you know what? I can't accept their testimony in other cases as well. In other words, even if A and B, group A or group B, show up in different cases, we'll say, again, not on opposite sides, but show up in different cases, Rav Chista says, because I know there's a possibility, there's a 50% chance that they are a liar, I cannot accept their testimony. Now, we're not going to get into it now just because of time, but the Rashbam happens to get into this interesting situation about what happens if you have a member from A and a member from B, right? So we're not getting into this right now. So the Gemara says, Lema, Rav Nachman Damar Kerev Huna, Rav Kerev Chista. So what says, here's what you have. So perhaps you would say that, so why don't we say that Rav Nachman holds like Rav Huna? So what's, remember again, Rav Nachman was the one who said on Amud Beis that what? Rav Nachman was the one who said that when A and B contradict each other, right? A says Reuven has the chazaka. B says Shimon has the chazaka. But A also said that what? That the land belonged to Reuven. So Rav Nachman posited that although A and B cancel each other out legabe chazaka, we should still believe A's testimony legabe Reuven's father's ownership. So we'll say, what Rav Nachman seems to say is, although we recognize that they might be lying in some parts, let's splice off the part of the testimony that's uncontested and use that. So Rav Nachman would seem to be like Rav Huna, because Rav Huna is the same one who says that what? That although A and B are contradicting each other by the case of the Alva, when A comes independently or B comes independently, we could believe them. So say that Rav Nachman holds like Rav Huna. And what? And Rav holds like Rav Chista. You must remember, Rav was the one who said that no, it's Eidos Mucheshes. That once A and B are contradicting each other, Gabi the Chazaka, their Eidos, their testimonies are totally cancelled out, and it's thrown out even the Gabi what? Even the Gabi, the information about Reuven's father's ownership. That would be in line with Rav Chisto, who says, Bahade Sahadi Shakri Lamali. What do I need to deal with lying witnesses? To which the Gemara says, no. Rav Chista's position is clear, right? And according to Rav Chista, no one argues. As we will say, the Rav Chista's position is clear, that he says, look, at the end of the day, because there is a strong possibility that one of the groups are liars, so we have to forever discount their ability to be proper witnesses. Keep Ligi, so where does the machlokis come up? Aliba de Rav Huna. We'll say, the machlokis comes up according to Rav Huna. How so? Rav Nachman ki Rav Huna. So Rav Nachman will clearly side with Rav Huna, because Rav Huna is the one who says that essentially just because they are liars in one regard does not discount us from accepting their testimony in other areas. So Rav Nachman clearly aligns himself with Rav Huna, and that's where Rav Nachman will say, Rav Huna, in the case of where the witnesses come along and say, one says, Reuven's father owned the field, and Reuven has lived here the last 3 years. Set two says, Shimon's lived here the last 3 years. As much as the Chazaka pieces cancel each other out, we will still salvage the first part of the Eidos that says that the land belonged to Reuven's father, and will establish his property as Reuven's. So Rav Huna clearly holds like Rav Nachman. I should say, right, Rav Nachman clearly holds like Rav Huna. The Rava will say the following, Ad kan lo kam Rav Huna, ela le'idos acheres. Rava will say the following, even Rav Huna would not agree in our case. We'll say our case, remember, is where the witnesses are coming and saying, first set says that Reuven lived here for 3 years, and that belonged to his father. And second set says Shimon lived here for 3 years. So Rava wants to suggest that in that case, even Rav Huna would agree that you can't believe any part of the testimony. Why? Because Rav Huna Shita was only able to Ella Eidos Acheres. Because Rav Osai, remember again, in this case over here, even Rav Huna would agree, Rav Osai, that you can't splice off one piece of the testimony from the contradicted testimony itself. In other words, Rav Osai, what's Shitas Rav Huna? Shitas Rav Huna says that if you have two groups of witnesses who are giving contradictory testimony, right? Remember again, what's Rav Huna's case? Group A comes along and says, Reuven borrowed $1,000 from Shimon. Group B comes along and says, Reuven didn't borrow anything. Reuven was with us the entire day. So obviously somebody's lying. Somebody's lying. So Rav Huna says, we can't believe either of them here, but if either group A or group B shows up in a different case, we can believe them. Rava suggests Rav Huna only says that in a case where they're showing up to give a totally different, separate, and distinct testimony. We can believe them, but Rav Huna says, you can't believe, even Rav Huna would agree, that you can't believe any part of their testimony in the case where they are contradicting each other. Therefore, Rav Huna says, going back to the case of Ahmed Aleph, where group A is showing up and saying what? Group A says, the land belongs to Reuven's father, and Reuven lived here for 3 years. Group B says the land belongs to Shimon. So Rav Nachman wanted to suggest, let's just lop off the first part of Group A's Eidos, even though, because the second part is contradicted, it falls away. But let's salvage the first piece, which says that what? The land belonged to Reuven's father. So says Rava, even Rav Huna would agree you can't do that. Because it will say, once the testimony is contradicted in a particular case, the entire testimony is thrown out, and you can't splice off a piece to use. It will say, watch this. Hadr Aisi Sahadi Davase. So it will say, then what happens? So remember, going back to our previous case. Right? So going back to the case in Ahmed Aleph. What happens? Remember, let's go back. So Reuven is saying, this belonged to my forefathers, and I've been living here for a chazaka. Shimon says, this belonged to my forefathers, and I've been living here for a chazaka. Then what happens? What happened? Reuven brings witnesses that said that what? The land belonged to my forefathers, and I lived there chazaka. Meaning Reuven brings edim that supports his claim, ancestral claim, and chazaka claim. Shimon brings witnesses who said that what? Supports the chazaka claim, but no ancestral claim. So remember, Rav Nachman wanted to give the land to Reuven because he's the only one who has testimony to support any part of his claim. So what happened? So Rav Nachman awarded the land to Reuven. Subsequently, what occurred? Get ready for this. Hadar Isi Sadi Davasehi. Shimon then brought witnesses, Rabosai, that supported his claim that the land belonged to his forefathers as well. So now Shimon has ancestral claim as well. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Nachman. So what happens? Other I see Sadi Davasi. Amar Rav Nachman, Ano Achtino, Ano Misakino Bei. So Rav Nachman says, look, at this point in time, Bezin has to take back the land from Reuven, and you know what? They're going to have to figure out a way to duke it out differently, because now they both have equal legal claims. So the same Beis Din that awarded the land to Reuven is now going to be the same Beis Din that takes away the land from Reuven. Now we're getting into a really fascinating discussion of what we call Ziluse de Beidino. Ziluse de Beidino means, Rabosei, the degradation of Beis Din. So Rabosei, there is a concept that sometimes we have to say all rulings of Beis Din are final in order to maintain the integrity of Beis Din. Because if you have a ruling and then that ruling is overturned, the integrity of the Beis Din is compromised. So Rav Nachman says, even though by overturning this ruling, by taking away the land from Reuven, and once again allowing the land to be in play, we could potentially be diminishing the integrity of Beis Din, we're not choshesh for that. We have to do what's right, and even if the integrity of Beis Din is diminished, as you're supposed to say, and you're thinking to yourself, well, one second, what's the shot? Of course you have to do what's right. Who cares about the integrity of Beis Din? No. The integrity of Beis Din, we'll say, is exceptionally important. Why? Because there is no legal system without the integrity of the courts. If the courts don't have integrity, and if the word of the courts is not final, that erodes the integrity of the Beis Din, that erodes the integrity of the Beis Din in totality. Therefore, again, there is a concept that sometimes we have to bolster the courts, even if the justice takes a little bit of a short-term hit. Rav Nachman says, no, we're not choshesh for the degradation of the Beis Din. You have to extract the land from the person whom we awarded it to. Masiv Rav Avitim Rav Zihira, Shnaim Omrim Meis, Ushnaim Omrim Lomay. So listen, now we're going to get into this a little bit. So what happens in the following situation? You have two witnesses, Rav Osei. This is a case of a woman whose husband went overseas. No one knows what happened to him. He didn't come home. And what happens? Two witnesses show up and say, to the wife, your husband died. And what happens? Two witnesses show up and say, your husband did not die. Shnayim omrim nisgarsha, b'shnayim omrim nisgarsha. Or Rabosai, or two witnesses claim that this woman was divorced from her husband. And two witnesses contradict and say, no, you were not divorced from your husband. What's the halacha, Rabosai? In all of these cases, hare zu lo tinase. So we'll say, obviously, in these cases, she should not get remarried. Or, right, she should not marry a second time. Why? Because we'll say, you have contradictory testimony, and therefore what? And therefore, lemaisa again, the contradictory, that they cancel each other out, we return her to her status quo as a married woman. Then nisei slo teitse. But I will say, if she did remarry, so she need not leave the second husband. Rabbi Menachem, Rabbi Yossi Omer, teitse. Rabbi Menachem, Rabbi Yossi says, no, she has to leave the second witness. She has to leave the second husband. When do I say she has to leave her second husband? That's bizman sheba'u edim ba'achar kach nises. We'll say that's when what? When the second set of witnesses who says that her husband didn't die, or who say that she was not divorced, when she heard that testimony, and she still got remarried a second time, that's when she has to leave the second husband. However, aval nises, the Akrakach Boedin, but Rabosa, if what? If she got remarried based on the testimony of the first set of witnesses. Now, the first set of witnesses show up and say what? Your husband died. Or claim that she was divorced. And then what, Rabosa? She gets remarried. And then the second set of witnesses come and say, oh, by the way, your husband's alive. or he did not divorce you, then lo teitze. Then even I would agree, says Rabbi Nachman Rabbi Yossi, that you need not go ahead and leave the second lazer. We'll say, take a look at the Rashbam for just a moment. The Valim Nises, a P.A. de Misa, Shetiru Bezli Nase, Fachakach Bo Edim Shu Kayim Lo Teitze, the Chashin Lose Luse de Beidina, Chashodach. So we'll say, Stephen Rabbi Nachman Rabbi Yossi will say that in a case where you got married after what? After the testimony of the first set of witnesses who said that your husband died, that you were divorced, even I would agree that you need not leave your second husband. I will say, why don't you have to leave your second husband? Because apparently we are choshesh for zelusa de beidino. It doesn't look right. If the woman got married, right, with the permission of the Beis Din, it doesn't look right that now we are overturning that ruling because of the second set of witnesses. So, what do you see from here? You see from here that we are choshesh regarding the degradation, ultimately, again, of the Beis Din. So, we'll stop over here for today. But again, I'm leaving you a little bit on a cliffhanger. And the cliffhanger is, do we overturn, ultimately, again, the ruling of a Beis Din or not? And again, remember, that has significant ramifications for the integrity of the Beis Din. That seems to be a machlokas, and here's Hashem that we will continue tomorrow. So that's the Shiloh. Correct. That's going to be the real Shiloh. Do we say case closed? We're done with this. There's nothing more to talk about. Or are we willing to open it up again? That remains to be seen.